إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, today we're beginning a topic that we will do this Jum'ah and next Jum'ah. It is the ayah of Surah An-Nahl, which we mention in every khutbah of every Jum'ah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa itai zil qurba wa yanha anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. You hear this ayah in every khutbah of every Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us about six matters in this ayah. There are three do's and three don'ts. There are three matters about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do, and there are three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us not to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins and orders al-adl, which is justice, and al-ihsan, which is excellence, and giving help to your relatives, your kith and kin, and forbids al-fahsha, which is all forms of shamelessness, wal-munkar, all forms of disobedience, wal-baghi, all forms of oppression and rebellion. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and He admonishes you and warns you that you may take heed. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned to you, ordered us about six things. And that order is considered so important that it is repeated in every khutbah of every Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do three things and to stay away from three things. He ordered us to do al-adl, justice, al-ihsan, excellence, to help our relatives. And He forbade us from al-fahsha, all acts of shamelessness, wal-munkar, all acts of disobedience, wal-baghi, all acts of oppression and rebellion. Let us see what this means, because the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are given in order to be obeyed. They are not given in order to be disobeyed. What is al-adl? What is justice? Justice in Arabic is to give something its due place. For example, to put your feet on the table is injustice, because the table is not meant for your feet. So justice is not only what happens in the court of law. To give your parents their position in terms of how you deal with them is justice. Not to do so is injustice. To give your children their position with regard to how you deal with them is justice. To give your employer or employees their position with respect to how you deal with them is justice. To behave inside the masjid in keeping with the adab of masjid is justice. To come inside the masjid and run around, or to talk about the dunya, or to behave in ways which are against the adab of the masjid is injustice to the masjid. So justice is a very vast and a very all-encompassing concept in Arabic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing He orders is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to be just, to give justice and to behave with justice. The first demand of justice, therefore, is the tawheed. It is to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the position that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. To acknowledge, to accept, to bow in submission, to worship and to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the position that is solely and wholly His, in which He has no partners, no shareholders. There is no one in that position who has a position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in this very beautiful ayah of Surah Al-Hashr, where He said, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ مُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. The instructions begins with tawheed. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And it ends with amma yushrikun, with tawheed. Tawheed is the essence of justice. It is the unique majesty and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which nobody and nothing shares with him. He is the one who is al-wahadul ahadul ladhi lam yalid lam walam yulad walam yakul lahu kufwan ahad. He is the one who told his Nabi to introduce himself to the people by saying, Qul huwa Allahu al-Ahad. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufwan ahad. To give this position of worshipping or asking for help to anyone other than Allah is injustice, is zulm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually called it that in so many words, where he said in Surah Ankabut, Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Not only zulm, but the biggest zulm. The biggest zulm. Zulmun azim. The greatest of injustice is to commit shirk. The greatest of injustice is to give to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the position that is due only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned being dutiful to parents after being dutiful to himself. This is the next step in justice. Then justice is to be kind to relatives and orphans and masakin. Masakin, the word miskin and the word sa'il are separated in Arabic. They have different meanings. A miskin is somebody who is in need but who does not ask. A sa'il is somebody who is in need and who asks. And we are supposed to give to both. So justice is to be kind to relatives and to be kind to orphans and to the masakin and to the neighbors who are relatives and the neighbors who are not relatives. What is this differentiation? Neighbors who are relatives and neighbors who are not relatives. The Mufassirin have said, neighbors who are relatives refers to Muslim neighbors, and neighbors who are not relatives refers to non-Muslim neighbors. Actually, being kind to non-Muslim neighbors is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to be kind to your companions, and to be kind to those you meet on a journey, and those who are in your custody. The one who your right hand possesses. Expanding the meaning to one who not only slaves, because we don't have slaves in this current times, but to anyone who is in your custody. Islam places the highest importance on justice because it is the foundation of all good. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the dua of the oppressed, the dua of the one on whom you are doing injustice, go straight up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any hindrance and is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even if the one being oppressed is a non-Muslim and even if the one who is oppressing him is a Muslim. When Muslims forget this, they tarnish the image of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always to help us to remember this and never to forget this. And in this connection, the ayah of the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَجَارِ ذِي الْجَنْبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Allah said, worship Allah and do not join anyone with him in worship. And do good, do ihsan to parents, and to your relatives, and to orphans, and to the masakin, and to the neighbor who is your related to you, and to the neighbor who is a stranger, the companion by your side, the wayfarer, the traveler you meet, and those slaves whom your right hand possesses. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such who are proud and boastful. People like to talk about peace and harmony and so on, but they fail to realize that all these are outcomes of justice. It is only when justice is established that peace can prevail. The appearance of peace in the absence of justice is the precursor of war. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulan ar-ra'yatihi." He said, all of you are shepherds, and all of you will be questioned and be held accountable for those who are in your care. Kullukum refers to the men and refers also to the women. Everyone. He said, all of you are shepherds, and all of you will be questioned about those who are in your custody. Parents will be questioned about their children. Children will be questioned with regard to whatever and whoever is in their custody. Men will be questioned about their whole family. Women will be questioned about those who are in their custody. Employers will be questioned about their employees. Heads of state will be questioned about the people who they used to rule. Everybody will be questioned about the one who he or she was responsible for, even if it was a single person, even if it was a single goat. Allah will question, and we will have to answer. Justice is to fulfill the responsibility that we have been given of worshipping none but Allah, of enjoining good and forbidding evil without fear of anyone other than Allah, of giving people their rights. It is the right of Allah alone to be worshipped. It is the right of parents to be served by their children. It is the right of children that they should be guided with the right tarbiyah, introduced to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to obedience and submission to Islam. It is the right of neighbors, Muslim or not, to be treated fairly and with respect and affection by their Muslim neighbors. Justice is to do all of this for the pleasure of Allah alone, fearing the day when we will meet Him and be called to account. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us on that day with His mercy and His forgiveness. The second thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do is al-ihsan. Al-ihsan, as they say, the soldier gets a salary for doing his duty. He gets a medal for doing over and above his duty. The best definition of ihsan is the definition that was given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Jibreel alayhi salam in the famous hadith Jibreel, where Jibreel alayhi salam asked him, "Akhbirni anil ihsan ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara fa illam takun tara fa innahu yara." He said, it is that you should worship Allah as though you can see Him, and though you cannot see Him, yet He sees you. Al-Ihsan is not restricted to Ibadah alone. Ibadah is given as an example to illustrate Al-Ihsan in the most important aspects of our life, which is Al-Ibadah. Naturally, ihsan extends to every other aspect of life. The core fundamental message in this hadith is the awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and is aware of all that we do, every moment of our lives, and therefore to do everything with the intention to please Him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is online 24/7, 365. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, "Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara." The ayah came with respect to Abu Jahl, but the question applies to all of us, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, does he not know that Allah sees everything that he does? I ask myself, I remind myself, and I ask you to remind yourself, are you and I not aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing everything that we do? Al-Ihsan therefore is to feel ashamed of any evil that we may even contemplate and think about, so that this becomes our defense against ever doing that action. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah said, "Perish the thought of sin. He said, kill the thought itself. Because if you allow the thought to remain, the thought will bring about speech and the speech will bring about action. And though you are not culpable for the thought, though you are not punishable for the thought, you are punishable for the speech and the action. And therefore, perish the thought. The minute the thought comes, make the thought go away. Because remember, the thought is not visible to people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجْهَرُ بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah said, whatever you keep secret, whether you keep your talk secret or you disclose it, verily He is the all-knower of what is in the hearts of people, what is in the breasts of people. How can we think a thought of evil? How can we think a thought of haram? How can we think a thought of disobedience when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this thought? Whether Allah punishes us for that or not is His rahmah. But what is incumbent upon us? How can we allow ourselves even to think about something which is haram? Even to think about something which is prohibited? If we bring about this thought and if we bring about this attitude in our lives, then obviously it will become impossible for us to actually commit that action. Because the thought itself will be slaughtered. And that is the meaning of feeling ashamed even about thinking of evil and haram. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in a beautiful ayah of such tremendous hope and strength for those who believe in Him. He said, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then made istawa above the arsh. He knows what goes into the earth and what comes out of it and what descends from the heavens and what ascends to the heavens. And He is with you wherever you may be. He is with you by means of His knowledge. He is with you wherever you might be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seer of what you do. Such a beautiful ayah about the grace and majesty of our Rabb. I remind myself and you to reflect on this part of the ayah where He said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Why is Allah saying, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ? People got confused with this ayah. And when they said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, they got involved in all sorts of shirkiya and kufriya istilahat and thoughts, schools of thought of wahdatul wajud. And they said, Allah is with me, meaning Allah by His zat is with me. This is shirk ayn and kufr ayn. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us in a way that pleases and is in keeping with His majesty and grace. Whatever that may be and however that may be. It is not given for us to give explanations of that which we have no knowledge of. Let me make this absolutely clear. Rejoice, O people. Rejoice. That we worship a Rabb who cares about us. What was the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ? When He had already said, وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. When He had already said that I know what is even in your hearts. Obviously He knows what you are doing and He knows what situations you are in. Why must He say, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ? Rejoice that we worship our Rabb who cares about us. Who is with us in every state that we may be in. Through happiness, through sadness, through ease and through difficulty. How can sadness be sad when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? How can happiness be expressed in ways which are haram when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? And when we are aware that this happiness is the result of the grace of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the power to turn your happiness into instant grief. In 1 second. In 1 second. What prevents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from sending Malakul Maut to extract your soul when you are indulging in haram? When you are celebrating something in ways which are haram in Islam, what prevents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from sending Malakul Maut and saying, call him here? And all your celebration and the millions you spent on the celebration would have been turned into a day of grief because you just dropped dead. Fear Allah. Don't live in this world as if there is no Allah. Fear Allah. It is the grace of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that situation which makes you happy. How can you express that happiness in a way which is haram? Ask yourself, people. Ask yourself. And ask yourself, how can this happen when Allah is with me? Because He said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. How can ease be combined with ghafla when Allah is with us? How can difficulty be difficult when Allah is with us? How can there be a fear of creation? How can there be a fear of displeasing this one and that one when Allah is with us? And when we know that only and only the pleasure of Allah matters, the pleasure of anyone else does not matter. How can there be anxiety about the future when Allah is with us? But for all that to happen, the prerequisite is the yaqeen that Allah is with us, wherever we may be. Ask yourself, do you really believe this? Do you think Allah is speaking the truth when He says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ? Ask yourself this. Foundational, fundamental questions we forget to ask. We recite the Quran because we like the tune. We recite the Quran for the sawab. The Quran did not come as a piece of music. The Quran did not come to be recited in beautiful tones by people for whom Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will recite Quran in the most beautiful manner, but it will not go below their throats. It will not go below their throats. The Quran didn't come for that. The Quran came for us to think about, to reflect on, to ask ourselves questions, and to change our lives. To change our lives. If we listen to the Quran and we go away and the life remains the same, then wallahi we will be among those to whom the malaika will say while they drive them to the Jahannam, Alam ya'tikum nadhir. Did no one come to warn you? And what will they say? قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا. Yes, of course they came to warn us. Of course they warned us. But we denied them. We denied them. Please. I remind myself to save myself and I remind you to save yourself from that. Do not be among those who will be, who will have to stand on the day of judgment. And they will have to have this conversation with the malaika. Do not be among those. Al-Ihsan is to believe what Allah told us. It is not to believe what shaitan tells us. Because shaitan tells us that we can hide from Allah. Shaitan tells us that we can ignore Allah. And we can ignore the ahkam of Allah. And so we become shameless and we commit sin. Allah told us that He is with us anywhere and in any state that we might be in. So it is incumbent upon us to ensure that we are never in a state and that we are never in company and never in a situation where we need to be ashamed of having Allah with us. Somebody told me recently about some guy who got caught in some drug scam in Hyderabad a few days ago. And someone told me about a conversation between their friends to say, we don't know whose number is in that fellow's phone. Because the police caught him, he's in jail now. The police will analyze his telephone address book. And we don't know whose numbers are in that fellow's phone. And what if my number is in his phone book? What if your number is in the phone book of those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for Jahannam. What if your phone number is in the phone book of those people who make fun of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah? What if your phone if your phone number is in the phone books of those people who openly do haram? What about that? Think about that. Don't lie to yourself. You're more afraid of the police than you are afraid of Allah. My brothers and sisters, it is incumbent upon us that when we believe in this ayah, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, that we are never in a state, never in company, and never in a situation where we need to be ashamed of having Allah with us. Having Allah with us is the greatest encouragement, the greatest source of comfort and safety that one can imagine. It means that you can talk to Him. It means that you can ask Him. It means that you can ask Him to protect you and He will protect you. It means that you can talk to Him and tell Him about your story, tell Him about your difficulties any time of the day or night. If this doesn't motivate a Muslim, I don't know what will. Eventually He told us that not only is He with us through life, but He is with us in those final terrifying moments when we face the inevitable, which some of us have tried to forget and deny all our lives. He told us, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين. Allah said, then why do you not intervene when the soul of a dying person reaches the throat? I want you to do an experiment. As I complete the translation of this ayah, I want you all to hold your nose and stop breathing. Do it now. Hold your nose and stop breathing now. So Allah is saying then why, and don't breathe until I tell you to breathe. Hold your nose and stop breathing and don't breathe until I tell you to breathe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said then why do you not intervene when the soul of the dying person reaches the throat? And you at that moment are looking on. But we are nearer to him than you are. But you don't see us. Then why do you not bring back? Why do you not, if you are exempt from reckoning and questioning and recompense and punishment, why do you not bring back the soul to the body if you are truthful? Feel that moment. That's why I said hold your breath and hold your nose. Some of you are doing it, some of you are not doing it. Some gain, some don't gain. This is life. Feel that moment, people. Hold your breath until you get desperate to breathe. And then know that one day, the day will come on you and it will come on me. Breathe now, breathe, don't die. Know that a day will come when you will not be able to remove the fingers from your nose to catch your breath, because that is not where your breath will be stuck. Your breath will not be stuck in the nose. Your breath will be stuck in the throat and you will have no control over that. You will not be able to remove your hand from your finger and take a deep gulp of fresh air because it will be stuck in the throat. Remember that day will come. It will come on me. And it will come on you. Feel that moment. And know. And know and rejoice. That about that time. And about that place. And about that moment. Your Rabb and my Rabb. I always used to say my Rabb. Then my brother objected. How would you say your Rabb? My Rabb also. I say, yeah, okay. So nowadays I say your Rabb and my Rabb. Know that your Rabb and my Rabb said that he is nahnu aqrabu ilayhi minkum walakin la tubsirun. Aqrab, he said, I am closest to you, we are closest to you, but you don't see us. If this doesn't give comfort to us, what will give comfort? Tell me, what will give comfort? Feel that moment. Insha'Allah al-musta'an, for people who believe in Allah, qalu rabbana Allah thumma istaqamu, and who stay firm on that, that moment will be a time of bashara. It will not be a time of terror. It will be a time of good news. It will be a time about which he told us, Jalla Jalalahu, wa amma nawalahu, wa subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. And he said, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ Ajib. Subhanallah. Read the Quran. Reflect on the Quran. Ek-ek loves aisa, subhanallah. One word is enough to send you crazy with the love of Allah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily those who say, or you can't say, where to get the majesty and the magnificence of the Arabic in this poor language called English? What is the similarity between inna Allah qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu? Where is that and where is verily those who say our Rabb is Allah alone? And then they remain steadfast. But we work with what we have, eh? On them the angels will descend. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Remember and recall and remember. The angels do not do anything of their own volition. The angels do not descend on you because they like your face. The angels descend on you because they have been set by your Rabb. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ They will descend on you. And they will descend on these people. Who? Which people? Those who said, Allah is my Rabb. And who remained firm on that. What does it mean? What is the meaning of, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا It's not enough to simply say, Allah is my Rabb. Remaining firm on رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ is to follow the Sharia of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Is to follow his Sharia and to follow his Sunnah. That is the proof that we have said, رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ Allah did not say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ فَقَتْ He said, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ What will the angel say to them? أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا See the beautiful description of the Quran. Remember on that time, at that moment, At that time, at that moment, when we are in the state of nada, when we are in the state of ihtidar, when we are with the breath stuck in our throat, those who attended the death and hereafter thing, I described all of this in detail. What is the state of that person? He is going to a place he does not know about. No matter how much of a believer he was, no matter how true to Islam he was, No one is free from fear at the time of death. Nobody. Except the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes free. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angels. And they say, do not have any fear. Allah taqafu, have no fear. Wala tahzanu, have no sadness. Abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. But receive the glad tidings of Jannah. Which you have been promised. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be given the glad tidings of Jannah at the time of our death itself. We ask Allah to make us among those who will be shown their place in Jannah before we die. This has been promised to the shuhada fi sabilillah. The angels will say, have no fear and do not grieve. Receive the glad tidings of Jannah which you have been promised. We have been nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. We have been your friends, your awliya, the closest confidants and protectors in the life of this world, and we will continue to be so in the hereafter. therein and in the hereafter, what will happen? Therein you will receive all that your innermost selves ever desired. And therein you will have everything you ask for. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Nuzul. Nuzul is a welcome that presages, that promises the real benefits that are to come thereafter. Nuzul is that drink of cool water or fruit juice or some sharbat or something that is given to a traveler who has come from a very far distance, a traveler who was much awaited with great pleasure and with great anticipation, a traveler for whom a lot has been prepared in terms of food, in terms of things to do, in terms of good times. But when that traveler first arrives, tired after his journey, he is not taken straight to the dining table. He is given a beautiful cool drink. This is called nuzul. This is not the sum total of what is going to be given. That is only a precursor. It is only an announcement. It is only something which is an indicator of what is to come thereafter. Nuzul. This bashara of Jannah is only the precursor of the real Jannah, which Allah has promised, inshaAllah. And then, rejoice and rejoice on the choice of terms to the one who had the choice of terms, who could have introduced himself by means of his glorious attributes and his glorious names, by means of his Asma'ul Sifatul Husna. He could choose any of his Asma'ul Husna. Nuzulam min, from whom? He could have said, Nuzulam min Maliki Yawmiddin. He could have said, Nuzulam min Qaharul Jabbar. He could have said, Nuzulam min Azizul Hakim. He could have said, Nuzulam min Khaliqis Samawati Wal Ard. He did not say that. What did he say? Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Oh people, what is the thought? What is the single most important and critical thought in the heart of the one who is dying? What is the single most critical thought in the heart, the single biggest anxiety in the heart of the one who knows his Rabb and who is dying? What is the single most thought? Most important thought. Is it his car? Is it his wife? Is it his children? Is it his house, property? For the one who has iman, what is the single most critical thought? What will happen to me? How will I face Allah? How will I face my Rabb? What will happen to me? Will I be forgiven? Will I be forgiven? Because he said, يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He said, he will forgive whoever he wants, and he will give azab and punishment to whoever he wants, and he can do whatever he wants. The single biggest thought, will I be forgiven? And see the mercy of our Rabb. See the mercy of our Rabb. How did he introduce himself? What did he say? Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Min ghafurir rahim. The one who is all forgiving. And the one who is ar-rahim. The one whose rahmah never ends. Whose rahmah never ends. Ar-Rahmanu wa-Rahimu fi dunya wal-akhirah. He introduced himself as Ar-Rahmanu Ar-Rahim. And then he said, Maliki Yawmiddin. Again, comfort to the believers that when you stand before him on the day of judgment, you are not standing before him as being the one who is the owner of power alone. You are standing before him as Al-Ghafur Ar-Rahim, as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. The beauty of ihsan, my brothers and sisters, is that when a Muslim works with that focus of ihsan, He differentiates himself from the environment on the basis of quality. That creates brand, and brand invokes loyalty. As I mentioned before, there was a time in South Africa when Muslims were not required to swear on the Quran or any other book when they were giving testimony in court, because people said Muslims do not lie. So a Muslim does not have to say, I will speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because I always speak the truth. There was a time when legally the apartheid white government of South Africa did not require Muslim witnesses to swear to speak the truth, because they said Muslims always speak the truth. There is no need to ask them to speak the truth. Subhanallah. Ajeeb, eh? That rule no longer holds in South Africa, and it no longer holds anywhere in the world. In Indian villages, we know that Hindus used to keep their wealth, their money, their gold, and more importantly, they used to leave their young daughters with their Muslim neighbors and not with their own relatives when they went traveling somewhere. The villagers used to do that because they said the Muslims have amana. The Muslims have amana. Our women and our money is safe in a Muslim home. It is even more safe than it would be in the homes of our own relatives. There was a time. No longer so. No longer so. All of this is the result of Al-Ihsan. I am saying this to you not because I want to send you into a fit of depression. I am saying this to you because it is in our hands to bring all of this back if we wish. The result of living with the constant desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the meaning of Ihsan. My brothers and sisters, we are still the same people. We still have the same religion, the same Allah, the same Nabi, the same book. But what happened to us today? What changed? Inshallah, we'll continue with this in next Jummah and maybe the following one, Allah knows best. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to follow what has been ordered and to do what is beneficial to us, to fear no one and to seek the pleasure of no one other than Allah. And to remember that that is important because no one other than Allah will be with us when we die. And that today if we seek to please others and we end up displeasing Allah, then that is the worst of transactions, the worst of deals. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. Jazakumullahu khairan wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.